And brothers and sisters, we see very profoundly in this season of Easter as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord from the dead. This idea which is embodied in that opening prayer of the body of Christ following where the head has gone. That he goes before us, that he prepares a way for us. He can only do that by entering into our reality, bringing and drawing to himself who he is. Who he is, identifying that he is the shepherd of the sheep. I am reminded of a time years ago now where I was going to a place for prayer, and as I was going, I was listening to music, and there's a Christian song came on the radio, and in that there is a line that said, "They laid him in Joseph's tomb." It's a very nondescript in the sense of not really profound in some way. I've heard it many times and overlooked those words. They laid him in Joseph's tomb. But that day, for some reason, my mind captured it, and I was thinking about that, you know, that's true. Jesus didn't have his own tomb. He literally borrowed someone's. Now, they didn't know he was borrowing it, they were giving it to him, but he was like, "Hey, 3 days later, I'll give it back to you," right? But it was someone else's tomb. And the question kept welling up in my heart as I was listening to the remainder of the song. What is the significance of Jesus being laid in someone else's tomb? As I got to my place of prayer, I got set up, sat down, and immediately in my imagination, I was there. Now, this doesn't happen all the time. It was definitely a grace, because usually it's just distraction. But this day, there was a grace, and in my imagination, I was there in a cemetery, and there was a freshly dug grave about 25 feet away from me. And so I walked over towards the grave, and as I got there, a nice little rectangular shaped grave, very beautiful as graves go, I guess, you know, big pile of dirt next to it, very freshly dug. I can smell the fresh dug earth. It's a smell of spring, as we're going to plant flowers and cleaning the ground and things like that. That fresh dug earth smell, I could smell it. It's a very new, fresh grave. And as I got there, I could see the tombstone. And the tombstone had someone's name on it, and it didn't say Joseph of Arimathea. It was my grave. And I thought about it in my imagination. I would look for the dates, but it's better that I didn't, I think. Mark that on my calendar. It's going to be an important day for me. But it was my grave. And as my eyes moved from the tombstone to the bottom of the grave, there was someone in it. And it was the dead body of Jesus. And it wasn't pretty. It wasn't there in a coffin all decorated up, or it wasn't even there wrapped in burial bands with a shroud covering it, anointed with oil, prepared for burial. He was simply laying there in my grave, dead. I could see that he had begun to dry out. It was not a very pretty sight. And I could smell the death. It was really strange in that moment as I'm looking at the dead body of Jesus in my grave, the strange feelings that welled up within me. That's why I know this isn't just me in my imagination, because I did not anticipate what came forth from my heart. As I was looking at him, from my heart came out this really weird thing. And I said unto Jesus, "You need to get out of my grave." Don't you think that's odd? "Jesus, you need to get out of my grave." And I think where it was coming from my heart, was that is where I am supposed to go. That is where, by justice, I deserve to go. You don't deserve that. You don't deserve to lay in my grave. You don't deserve to die for my sake. That is where I am supposed to go by justice, not you. You need to get out of my grave, because that's where I'm going. I did not expect that. And as I was saying these things coming forth from my heart, I heard the voice of the Father from above say to me, "Do you want to go there?" And as I normally am in my prayer with the Father, I'm very cheeky. I'm like, "Well, no. Of course I don't want to go there. That's where I'm supposed to go. It's where I deserve to go. He doesn't deserve this." And it was a very odd thing, just standing there in my imagination, looking into my grave. And the feelings were very strong, very strong. All of this, the injustice of it all, the fear that was part of me, but I knew that's where I deserved to go. Everything was just welling up within me. Finally, I had enough. In my imagination, I turned around and started to walk away. I don't know where I was going. It's not like it's like, "All right, I got a 2 o'clock appointment, I'm out of here," right? And at a certain point, I got far enough away, I turned back around and I took a look, one last look. But this time, as I turned around and looked back at the grave, there was a huge shaft of light that was coming up out of my open grave into the heavens. So I stopped and I walked back over to see what had taken place. And as I approached the grave, there was so much light coming forth from the grave that it was like putting your head in front of a spotlight. I don't know what I expected to see looking into that, but it was just this massive shaft of light. And as I leaned over to look in, everything was changed. I couldn't even see the bottom of the grave because of the light. I don't even know if his body was there. I presume it wasn't. But as I looked at the walls of the grave, the light that was present had impregnated the walls of the grave. It was glowing. It was transformed and changed. It was as if the most beautiful marble had been lined into that grave. But it wasn't that they had done that. It was that the dirt had become so radically transformed and changed, you couldn't even recognize it. The roots of the plants that had down and you could see in the original grave had now become the lines and the veins in the marble. The little rocks that were there had now become so transformed that they were as gems glowing in radiance. Everything about that grave was changed, even the smell. I tried describing it to someone once. I was like, "I don't know what life and light smell like, but I've smelt it. I don't know how to describe to you what I smelled in the moment of this radical transformation of my grave." And as I stood there staring into this grave that had become as if it were a palace, I heard the voice of the Father say, "Anthony, are you afraid to go there now?" Now remember, the first question he asked me was, "Do you want to go there?" Very much like, you know, you're telling him to get out, but do you really want to go there? He saw in my heart the fear that was connected to it. And in that moment he said, "Are you afraid to go there now?" Because my brothers and sisters, we all are going there. Are you afraid to go there now? And again, in my cheekiness with the Lord, and frustration, which was just weird. I was frustrated. I was like, well, no. But who the heck would be afraid to go there? Do you see what you've done? You have changed it so radically. No one in their right mind would be afraid to go there now. Of course I'm not afraid to go there now. My brothers and sisters, Jesus goes before us. He has to be one with us in order to enter in and to go before us. On the day that you were buried in the baptismal waters, in the day that the old person within you died and a new person was created, the day in which you were reconciled to your Heavenly Father and you were washed clean by the blood of the Lamb and filled with the Holy Spirit, on that day, Jesus rose in your grave. I would have no context for what that means had I not, in my imagination that day in prayer, saw that radical transformation. What does it mean, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ rose in your grave? It is radically changed. It is radically transformed. The place that was death and sorrow and decomposition has now been so radically transformed by Jesus that it is no longer so. St. Peter in the second letter, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Everything has been transformed. Everything has been changed. Do not be afraid to enter into the suffering that you will suffer for the gospel message. For the gospel message, my brothers and sisters, Jesus suffered in order to proclaim this new reality of a kingdom coming into the world. It was for this that he suffered. We too will suffer for the truth. But don't be afraid. Any death that you are invited into, any suffering that you are invited into, the destination is before you, and that destination has been radically transformed and changed. Are you afraid to go there now? Jesus has no tomb on this earth. He borrowed someone's. There's a church built over it in Jerusalem, Church of the Holy Sepulchre. They call it Jesus' tomb, but it really was Joseph's. Jesus just borrowed it for a little while. And he transformed it and changed it. And over the centuries, Christians changed the rock into marble and anointed it with the most beautiful of oils, filled it with light and candles and incense burning. It has been radically transformed, not because of the gifts of the Christians and the believers, but because of Jesus rising from that tomb. We see in the readings, we see a witness of Peter inviting people into following Jesus and to entering into that. Peter is speaking as Jesus speaks. He is a steward of the good news, and because of the people who are of Jesus hear his voice and respond and enter in with faith and are baptized and become believers. We see in the gospel text Jesus entering into his mission as a shepherd, taking this role to himself, declaring that those who follow him hear and recognize his voice. I wish we lived, well, no, I don't. I say I wish we lived in Australia, but then we'd be going into the wintertime, and I don't want that. But the whole idea is that the only people I've ever met that know anything about sheep are Australians. And I met them when I was in seminary. And so anytime we had a gospel that had anything to do with sheep, we'd always turn to Joe from Australia and be like, okay, Joe, tell us about this. And he's like, well, sheep are dumb. You know, or he would go in and he would talk about all of these things. He would talk about how you move a flock of sheep. You have to lead them. And the shepherds of Jesus' time would sing to the sheep. You ever wonder why David is such a great singer? Why all so many songs are contributed to him or attributed to him? Why the worship of God in the meeting tent was transformed under the kingship of David? Because song was so important to him. Because he was a shepherd. Because he sang unto his sheep so that they would hear his voice. The shepherd sings to his sheep to call them forth out into the pasture. The shepherd sings to his sheep so that they can all come to the water and hold together with all of the other flocks and all of that. But when it's time to go, he starts walking and he sings to them and they follow him because they know his voice. The shepherd who then brings his flock into a place, into a walled sanctuary for the evening, will stand there in the breach in the wall, and the sheep will come through, and he'll let them go between his legs, and he'll pinch them, and he'll hold them there, and he'll inspect them and make sure that all of their wounds are taken care of before they get to go in. He will sit there and care for them, and then let that one go, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. He is the gate. And then when they're all inside, he fills the breach with his body and sleeps, so that anything that would come to rob or steal or destroy his flock would have to come through him first. Do you see, my brothers and sisters, do you see the complementality in which Jesus is speaking and saying, I have taken to myself my identity of caring for you. It is who I am. And I love you. For the people of God, you should be so incredibly affirmed of who this good shepherd is, who loves you so radically. For everyone who has responsibility to shepherd in the church, they should be radically trembling in fear, knowing the imitation with which they must give their life in imitation of the good shepherd. My brothers and sisters, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Jesus has changed everything. The grave is our destiny. But my brothers and sisters, the grave has been radically transformed and changed. Amen. Amen. Amen.